Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Bezras Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 426. We were talking previous shiurim about the importance of choosing the right words to avoid an argument, but one needs to prepare themselves if one's husband or wife slips up and says the wrong words. They forgot to choose their words carefully, or they forgot to modulate their voice and their, you know, raising their voice and talking roughly to you. So is that the end of it? Meaning, does the fight have to happen? And the answer is absolutely not. Because your reaction to your spouse's mistake or, getting over emotional or stressed, your reaction to that is still your choice. You could choose to avoid a fight, or you could choose to say something that will lead to a fight. And that is your choice, even after your husband or wife slipped up and maybe said something that was insensitive. He has a quote here, which is interesting. He says, it takes a wise spouse to have the last word and not use it. That is the idea. The best advice generally under those circumstances is to be quiet. And sometimes a conversation that's not going well at the time needs to be cut off. So what usually happens is there's, when one indeed slipped up, they said something disrespectful, they used the wrong tone of voice. Usually the other spouse proceeds to counterattack. Ego, pride, you know, whatever the reason is. They're not going to let the other person be the winner of this fight. So they don't want to say they're the loser. If they're quiet, that means they're acknowledging the other person, whatever it is. So they fight back. And each, now it becomes a sparring, one to the other, and each one is trying to convince the other that they are right. And the truth is everyone is saying, you know, once and for all, he or she will have to surrender and accept that I'm correct. So then it becomes like, you know, I'm in the right and I'm determined to fight to prove it. And if I don't put my foot down now, you'll take advantage of me. And that really is coming from the ego, because that's not called taking advantage of you. There are, again, if someone is constantly being, starting arguments, being contentious, and it's a pattern, then there are ways subsequent to that to communicate and to work things out. But we're talking here about general fights that take place. But what happens is, again, it becomes that each side has to win at all costs. And they're at the verge of killing each other at the end. And it becomes all-out war. And sometimes when it becomes all-out war, very often you forget what the conversation was all about. Very often what you originally were arguing about is forgotten. You don't even know what the argument, what started everything, because you got so upset, both of you, on the spiral downwards of the words that were said to each other. So in the wise spouse, when the one of them, husband or wife, and again, doesn't make a difference, it's two-way street, sometimes it's husband, sometimes it's wife, it makes no difference, it applies in both ways, that the whichever one made that mistake and slipped up and said something they shouldn't have said in the wrong tone of voice and in a derogatory way, the one who received this, on the receiving end of this, if they're smart, they're wise, they have the ability to step aside and not get dragged into the argument. Because your spouse may have been upset about something, but if you fire back, then you become responsible at starting the fight. What you could do subsequently is, let's say your spouse said something upsetting, hurtful to you, raised their voice, so and you're quiet and you step aside. Sometimes you have to use your judgment. Sometimes it's worthwhile to say, you know, my spouse is normally not like that. They're good. They're just overtired. And you let it go. And very often that spouse will hop and apologize to you. I'm sorry I spoke that way. Sometimes, though, if it happens more than once or more than twice, then you know you need to say something. So you don't ignore it or bury it under the rug, but you wait till the tempers calm down. And then later, when they're civil and things are calmer, then you could approach your spouse and say, let's have a discussion about what happened last night or whatever, that you said this, it was very hurtful. And even if you had a point of view that you were right about, maybe I was wrong about something, but the way you said it to me was not helpful and was hurtful. So you could have discussions about it. We're not talking about burying under the rug. So the smart spouse that steps aside and doesn't get dragged into the argument is not a weak person. It's not that they're a doormat, because they're evaluating in their minds that right now is not the good time to start this, to create a blow up. I may or may not address this later, and I'll see how it goes, and I'll see gauge how how it works. Because like I said, very often, if they generally have a good relationship and one of the spouses got upset and slipped up and was very irritable or yelled or said something not nice, if the smart spouse just says, I'm going to be quiet now, that's the wisest decision right now. And it could happen that the spouse will realize and apologize. And if they don't and it's forgotten, then the smart spouse could evaluate in their mind. This could be just a one-time thing, and there's no harm, or it's even beneficial to just not mention anything and just let it go. Or if it's already a little bit of a pattern, then you say to yourself, yes, I do need to address it. But you don't address it when the tempers are hot. So it's very, very important, these concepts, when dealing with disagreements. And it's very practical advice. The one who wrote this, we almost finished this book, Rabbi Aaron Lane, GPS for a Happier Marriage. And by the way, it's very interesting, as I'm reading through these different books, is that, yes, there's some overlap between books, and there's some overlap between shiurim. That's also true. But the different perspectives of each one has a unique voice that some readers may relate more to some than to others. It resonates more here than there. So it's always important to get that perspective. So he says he was puzzled himself when he got married and he realized that they were clashing, and the regular married differences that they had. And he was puzzled because he was a son that had a lot of sisters. He had a lot of sisters. So he thought he knew everything about women. A wife, is also a woman. And I had a bunch of sisters. And I interacted with them fine. I knew, sibling rivalry, whatever. But I was able to get along more or less. But then he learned after he got married that his sister is not a wife. There's some similarities in the female natures of it and so on. But there's many differences. First of all, they didn't share bedrooms. It was brother and sister. So they didn't have to deal with keeping the same room clean. And there was no you didn't need to have positive reinforcement that a brother has to. It's a good habit anyway. It's very beautiful when a brother and sister get along and really love each other and support each other. But generally, it's not necessary as part of the day-to-day life of siblings. And you don't have to talk to your brother or sister about important life decisions, about children or home or bills or vacation or neighbors or budgets and other things. And even when you were single and you had to discuss certain things, so you discussed it generally speaking with your parent, with a mentor, whatever, but not with your brother or sister. So this is what bothered him, that why was he having more challenges with his wife than with his sisters, although the truth is it made sense that it would be that way. And what also bothered him is that the disagreements that they used to have with one another occurred not over the big life decisions, but over those insignificant things. And why did we argue over these petty matters? And it bothered him that he took these arguments personal. Like, in other words, he thought to himself, and it's very refreshing that a rabbi that's writing this book is so honest about what he was thinking when he was having these challenges that we all have in marriage. like he was wondering why does he feel hurt? What's the big deal if his wife asked him why he was late or criticized him for forgetting to do something? You know, am I that immature that I have to react over every small thing? So it bothered him. And what he came to realize is that we are all human beings. We have some frailties. We have vulnerabilities. And even though we may project ourselves to have strong characters and that we're tough, but we have armor that we can that could easily be penetrated. People have fragile self-esteem. And I remember clearly Rapam said this many years ago. He said it a few times. And he said, be careful. He was talking about Einas Devarim. And he said, be careful because people are very sensitive. And it was clear, either he said it Beferish in his talk or it was implied in his talk. I don't remember that part. But it was pretty clear from what he was saying that when he says people are very sensitive, he's talking not just about the outwardly poetic, sensitive soul, but even those that had the rough edges, that talk tough, that seem to be not bothered by anything in life, the brave ones. The ones that endured everything and were tough, they're also very, very sensitive. And that's important to understand, that everyone has feelings. And so the idea behind what we just said so far is that if your spouse criticizes you, you still have a chance to prevent an argument. And instead of answering back, you take a time out. And you could tell your husband or wife, you know, we're willing to talk when both calmer. When both calmer, we'll have a discussion. And you step aside from that blow up that could happen and you avoid it. And another thing is that when there is already an argument, you mend fences and you sort of wipe it out. You don't linger on the argument. You throw it in the trash, you hit the delete button on the argument, you hit the remove button, the trash button, you know, to move it into the trash, and you just go back and put it aside from both of your minds and commit not to treat each other like that again and just let it go. I'm not talking now about the actual, what they're disagreeing upon. Because sometimes you need to go and air out the actual disagreement, the topic that which they're discussing. That you don't bury under the rug, like we said so many times. But the mean words or the bad temper things or the insensitive remarks that were said and that were regretted already, and they know they don't want to do this anymore. And even when they disagree going forward, they don't want to be this way anymore. Then they need to let it go. But it's also important that you cannot bury things under the rug because of the fear that you may fight. Sometimes you swallow too much and you be kind and then it blows up. So it is important to learn how to express differences when those differences are indeed bothering you. But to learn how to regulate your emotions, to do it in a calmer manner and with a kindness, which takes some training, but it is doable. And both husband and wife could do it. He brings an example here about the wife forgot to pick up cleaners for the husband, and the husband had asked her, and she forgot, and he gets upset. I can't believe you forgot it. And she says, I feel bad. And she says, it slips my mind. And he says, it's not acceptable, because if I was important to you, you would remember. And she says, that's not true, because it was important to me, but I just simply forgot. And he just keeps on going. My needs are just secondary to you. And she again tells him, I told you I forgot. Don't talk to me this way. And he yells back, okay, so now you're the victim here. And you know, and then she yells back, what about the day then that I asked you to pick up the new whatever it was and you forgot? And then he goes, how can you compare the two? I was in my office busy. You were at home. And she says, what do you mean I was home? I was taking care of the kids and doing all these things. You think my responsibilities are less? And da-da-da-da. And then it spirals out. and the sarcasm and hurt words and so let's this example he pretty much explained. The argument happened because of her error. She made a mistake. She forgot something. But the fight is really both their responsibilities. The wife forgot to pick up the suit. That is an error. It's okay. It happens in life. Does the husband think it was intentional? If he thinks it was intentional, then the marriage has a serious problem. So generally speaking, it's not intentional. In a normal, healthy relationship, he should realize that she didn't forget the suit on purpose. She made a mistake. It slipped her mind. He also forgets things. And even if he's organized and he doesn't forget things, they don't have to be the same personality. I have a mind that doesn't forget things. She has a mind that sometimes does forget things. What's the big deal? That wasn't one of the tenuyim in the marriage. This wasn't a condition. You have to remember everything, that you have to remember everything, you know, and never forget something. So if the husband would accept, okay, she made a mistake, big deal. She forgot the cleaners. But when he's relentless and just keeps on nagging her about it and being upset about it, what happens? So he made that error of not letting it go. So what happens instead? He attacks. She gets defensive. Now, again, it's harder for her. It's a nisayon now because first she was, she made a mistake. She feels bad that she made the mistake. And now her husband is attacking her in a way that, you know, why did you do this? You don't care. So it's very hard now. It's a big nisayon for the wife now not to lash back out because she's defensive naturally. No one likes being attacked, especially in this case where she really, it was unintentional. She meant to pick up the cleaners. She felt bad that she didn't. She just forgot. So over here, it takes more of a strength of character. It takes courage a little bit to say, I'm sorry about the cleaners. And, we'll talk about this later and move away from it. It does take courage. It is not easy. And I gave the example here with on the wife scenario, on this particular story, where she made an error, husband overreacted to it. She wants to be defensive and attack back, but she doesn't and lets it go and maybe addresses it later when everyone's calm. But it could happen the other way, the same way, where it's the husband. I'm just picking one example, but again, with these type of shiurim, with these type of argument situations, it's usually, you know, it's a two-way street. It could happen either with husband or wife or both. Bracha natzlacha.